So we left off yesterday discussing two different reasons why we don't seem, I say the word seem because maybe others disagree, we don't seem to find the melacha of Machmir Patish playing out in terms of cooking. We know there's melacha Bishol, there's melacha Machmir Patish, and we haven't yet found anybody explicitly who said that every time you cook, you should be in violation of Machmir Patish as well. So we have two different approaches as to why that should be so. So one of them was, we'll take a look at the fourth in Rama Kamos, the Rashi. Yesterday we said the Rashi outside, but we'll read it inside. So it's Rashi and Shabbos, I find out on the days. So Rashi says, the very last, in the second line, so at the end of the second line, V'gabi chavis leik mishur Machmir Patish, the making of a barrel did not involve the melacha Machmir Patish, the me'ilea nigmura melachto b'tanur. Since the barrel is made by itself, I don't sit there and bang away and screw in the screws to the barrel. I don't bang with the hammers on the barrel. Rather, I put the raw barrel, I guess for lack of a better term, throw into the oven, and then over a few hours, so it hardens, it forms by itself. So whenever it's a nigmar malachto me'eleha, that's mufka from the din of Machmir Patish. That's not considered to be malacha Machmir Patish. So we pointed out, the Chaschinuch says that how come some malachas you are chayef and nas me'eleha, others not? Bishol also happens me'eleha. The chilant also cooks by itself. So Mechaz Chinuch said, you have to throw your hands up and say, Akorchach, it's doing the Mishkan. It means the tzur of the Malacha of Bishul was played out in the Mishkan was Me'eleha, was done by itself. You put the dyes and the wool onto the fire, and then 3 hours later you had cooked dyes. Whereas when it comes to Machmir Patish's practice in the Mishkan was done actively. So if something happens passively, it happens by itself, that's not considered to be the Malacha. So that was one whole approach as to why cooking generally is not subject to Machmir Patish. And others say no. Others say a totally different reason. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that Machmir Patish, just by its very definition, doesn't apply to foods. Machmir Patish is just for kelim, not for foods. Not because it happens by itself, by a mela, active, doesn't matter. There's no such thing as Machmir Patish by foods, no matter what. There would be enough kamin ladina between the two. Let's say you would have something that could cook immediately. I imagine the technology is such that you can take something raw food, I don't know, instant flash cooking or something. So what would it then be? Would that be called Machmir Patish or not? According to the understanding of Rashi, that there's nothing intrinsically about food that's excluded from Machmir Patish, then we could discuss Machmir Patish. It's not going to happen most 99% of the time. It's going to fall short because it's not Samei Leha. But if every once in a while you can get a Machmir Patish and a direct immediate type of Machmir Patish, it would be subject to foods. Whereas if you go with the Mishnah Berurah, that just by definition, it's not even shocking to talk about it, then it wouldn't make much of a difference. To the end of the Shia yesterday, we pointed out that there is a Mishnah in the end of Masech Shabbos that talks about what we call Kali Abishol, talks about food that's very, very easily cooked. And the Mishnah says that something that's very easily cooked will be subject to a Malacha, even in situations where the regular rules of Bishol fall short. Let's say, for example, when it comes to klisheni, if you take a regular food, you try to put an egg into a klisheni, water that was already removed from the fire and was already transferred to another vessel, if you put a raw food into that kli, so me'ikra din klisheni and mevashel. But the Mishnah says if it's kali abishel, then everything changes. Kali abishel, a subject abishel, even in a klisheni. So the question is, why is that? What should that be based on? Why should it be that kali abishel is subject to Bishol, even in a cliche. And what we said yesterday, according to the Sefer Rim, according to Belezmi Mitz, this applies to a lot of our foods, because everything is ultimately a suffix Kaliyah Bishol. This is the reason why we wouldn't make tea necessarily in a cliche. We wouldn't put, say, bread into a cliche. The reason why we refrain from putting a lot of things into clichés is because all in the back of our minds, we're concerned, maybe it'd be a Kaliyah Bishol. So why should Kaliyah Bishol be a problem? What exactly is the issue with Kaliyah Bishol? So there's a major machlekes acharonim, just what your approach to Kali Abishol is all about. How do you view that issue of Kali Abishol? So one whole group of Rishonim and later Poskim, including the Mishnah Berurah, say that the issue of Kali Abishol is Bishol. And if you cook something that's very easily cooked in a klisheni, that's an issue deraisa of Bishol. But the Gemara says klisheni and mevashel, it can be. So the answer is an exception to every rule. The only problem is you have to explain away why there should be such an exception. Why is it that a raw egg, a piece of meat, a piece of chicken, why are those kinds of things not susceptible to cooking in a klisheni, whereas Kali Abishol are? What is that all about? So if you go back a couple of years ago and we spoke about Bishol, so we pointed out that there are different ways of understanding what's behind the principle of klisheni enim avashel. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos in the third parak, klisheni enim avashel. In a second vessel, once the water is removed from the fire and is poured into a bowl, no problem. Klisheni enim avashel. Yet in the same token, we're saying that Okalei Bishul are subject to Bishul and Klisheni. So you have to explain away why is it that Klisheni and Mavashal in the first place? And then, and not only then, can you understand why Kalei Bishul is the exception. So if you're going down the route of Bishul, which is, again, the approach of probably Rashi and probably the Rambam and Mishnah for sure, that the Isser of Kalei Bishul is Mamish Bishul. It's not our sugya. It's not Machpatr. We're learning the wrong sugya. Kalei Bishul is really a Bishul sugya. Then you really, really have to explain away why that phenomenon is true. Why does Bishul sometimes apply in Klisheni and sometimes doesn't apply in Klisheni? So Tosus has a possibility. It's a very famous Tosus we spent a lot of time on sugyas ago. Tosus asked the question, how could it be a Klisheni in Mavashel, whereas Kli Rishon is Mavashel? Says Tosus, you could have a situation where the water in the Klisheni is actually hotter than the water in the Kli Rishon. Imagine you take a tea kettle, it's at 212 degrees. You pour it into a cup. So now that water is technically klisheni water. How hot is that? You stick a thermometer, it's at 205 degrees. Klisheni and mavashel. You can put raw food in. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Klisheni and mavashel. Whereas if on the other stove, you have a pot of water that's sitting on the fire, it hasn't quite reached 212. It's 180. So according to all opinions, the Tzatzel let us know. It's a Kli Rishon, you take it off the fire, and you don't transfer its contents to anywhere, and now it's 175. So it's an Issur D'oraisa b'pashas to cook in that water. So it says, how can it be? It says the Kli Sheni water is 205 degrees, and it's mutl chetchila to cook in that, whereas the Kli Rishon is 175, and it's Asur D'oraisa to cook in that. How it doesn't make any sense. Isn't it the heat of the water that creates a problem of Bishul? So Taisa says, no. Taisa says that Kli Rishon still has something the Kli Sheni doesn't have. And what is that? The walls of the Kli Rishon are still hot. Kli Rishon, by definition, means this utensil, this vessel, was on the fire. Kli Sheni, by definition, means this Kli was never on the fire. So says Tosfos, by Kli Rishon, you have what's called the Funos Mechamamos. By Kli Sheni, you have what's called the Funos Mekaros. So comes Tosfos and says, what creates Bishul is not just the heat of the water. What creates Bishul is the Kli itself, the heat that the Kli itself is emitting or not emitting. That's part of the Bishul process. So according to Tosfos, the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is almost a Metzias difference. It's not like some razzle-dazzle halachic difference. It's a Metzias issue. It means in order to affect Bishul on something, you need heat, and heat is defined not just as the water itself, but the Kli is also taking part in the Bishul. If that's the case, then we can begin to understand why Kali and Bishul are different. What is the word Kali and Bishul? What do the words mean? Kali and Bishul means things that are easily susceptible to be cooked. So regular food, a piece of chicken, a raw egg, foods which are probably not Kali and Bishul, in order for them to become this Bashel, they need a big process. They need a lot of work. They need hot water, they need a hot Kli, they need the fun of the Chama, they need the whole nine yards in order to reach the point of Bishul. Kali and Bishul, something, I'll just give an example of Kalei Bishul, according to a Wechashesh, a tea bag. A tea bag is so, it's nothing, it's a little two-by-nothing thing, it's so easily cooked, with a little fish of the days of the Gemara. Things that a Kalei Bishul are so easily susceptible to being cooked, you don't need such a to-do, you don't need the Fanos Mechamos. Even the Fanos Mekaros can do the trick. So according to Tosfos, that the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni was almost rooted in the metzias of ability to be able to cook. So then I understand full well why there's a difference between Kalei Bishul versus not Kalei Bishul. Let's say according to others, some poskim suggest that maybe the reason why Kli Sheni and Mavashel is because it's Lav Derech Bishul. That's not the normal way to cook. Imagine if I would say to you, come home, ask my wife, please cook me up an egg. So she's like, no problem. So she takes hot water, pours it into a bowl and throws a raw egg there, sitting and waiting for the egg to become cooked. That's not normal. That's a meshuggah way of cooking. You cook, you put it into a pot on the turn on the fire. You cook in a Kli Rishon. Nobody cooks in a Kli Sheni. But if I ask for a cup of tea, it's so crazy to make a cup of tea the following way. I take water, I pour it into a cup, and then I throw my tea bag in. So why do you scream at the person who does it? You're meshuggah. What are you making tea in a Kli Sheni? So the answer is, I'm not meshuggah. You're meshuggah. That's normal. It's da'aka b'kach. Why is it da'aka b'kach? Because it's so easy for it to cook. So you don't have to use a Kli Rishon. An egg, you have to use a Kli Rishon. A piece of chicken, you have to use a Kli Rishon. A Kali Abishon, you don't have to use a Kli Rishon. If that's the reason why Klisheni and Mavashel, because it's considered to be not Derech Bishel, so then I understand full well why Kalia Bishel and regular food part ways. It's interesting, that second beer, that the reason why Klisheni and Mavashel and the corollary, why Kalia Bishel is a problem, so it doesn't, to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't appear in Rishonim, this Chiluk, it doesn't even appear explicitly in Acharonim. The first place that I actually saw this quoted was a footnote in Reb Shimon Eider's Sefer. Reb Shimon Eider, those who remember back to the days of Shimon Eider, he was the first one. Before all the other English Sfarim came out, the hardcover blue.
Paperbacks.
So, the first was the paperbacks. Right, you're right. You can predate me, that's right. I remember the paperbacks and the Pesach ones, but the Shabbos ones were already hardcover.
The 3 weeks. Yes.
That's right. So Shimon Eider was before all the other arts. If you look at it, it's much like the old typewriter books. So in a footnote of Shimon Eider, he has this ha'ara that he says he thinks that's I don't know who he's quoting from. It was his own. I'm not sure, but according to that mahalach of Shalom Kederach, at least it makes a lot of sense what the difference between Klavishan and Klisheni is. So why are we talking about this? We're talking about Machmer Patrish. Why are we talking about Bishul? Because we're highlighting that a whole group of Rishonim are clearly explaining Kali Bishul, looking through the eyes of Bishul. But if you look at it through the eyes of Bishul, then you have to really explain why the Din of Klisheni and Mavashel breaks down when it comes to Kali Bishul. But there are others who won't go down this route. There are others who say that Klisheni and Mavashel is an absolute chayk lo yavor. It's more of a halachic statement. Klisheni and Mavashel, that's the way it is. The Torah definition of Bishul is dafka with a Kli Rishon. Let's say Lamashel, the Rishalmi seems to say this. The Pashas and the Rishalmi is that the reason why Kli Sheni and Mavashel, that's al Pidin, it's just not shayach to talk about Bishul in a Kli Sheni. That's the way it is. Kachnem Salocha, Kachnem Salocha. Not because it's Shalok Kederach, not because in the laboratory we experimented and it's not so hot. That's just what, that is the Bishul Ha'omim Batorah. If that's the case, if that's the Bishul Ha'omim Batorah, so then we have to explain. So what happened to Kali Bishul? So once you take it out of the realm of the laboratory, once you take it out of the realm of the psychological assessment, is this normal, is it not normal? Once you put a halachic stamp on it and say, that's just the way it is, kach nemar halacha, then you have to really, really explain. So talk, why is it the Kali Bishul is also? Where did Kali Bishul come from? So the truth is that in the Rishalmi itself, one could suggest that Kali Bishul is only a chumra midrabanan. Because if you look at the Mishnah at the end of Masechah Shabbos, it speaks about Kali Bishul. The Mishnah never says Chayev. The Mishnah says Asur. The Mishnah never says Chayev. The Bavli says Chayev. The Gemara Beferish in the third part of Shabbos learns in the Mishnah that it's Chayev. The Rishami doesn't say Chayev. So there are some who want to argue, maybe the Rishami didn't come to Shia today. According to the Rishami, our whole discussion is a moot discussion. There is no Chayev called Kali Bishul. It's not Chumra Midrabban. It looks like Bishul. That's the Rabbanas we no shortage of the Rabbanas we could throw at you. But we don't want to go down that route. We want Kali Bishul to be the Araisa. And the Gemara in the Bavli says it explicitly, and you know, we don't want to make a Machlokes Bavli Mishav, we don't have to. So come a group of Acharonim, the Levush, and others, Prima Godim, and say, you know what Kali Bishul is all about? It has nothing to do with Bishul. Zero, zippo. Nothing to do with Bishul. You know why Kali Bishul is Chayav? Because of Gemar Malacha, Macha Bepatish. That's the reason why Kali Bishul is Chayav. Because of Macha Bepatish. So now, according to these Acharonim, wait a second, according to these Acharonim, we just came up with a big problem. Because we've been trying, yesterday's shiur, we were trying to avoid Gemar Malach, we're trying to avoid Machmer Patrish at Ochlin at all costs. So we had Rashi's pshat, because whatever happens over a course of time is not Machmer Patrish. We had Mishnah Berurah who said that just the whole Malach of Machmer Patrish doesn't lend itself to foods. But we have Acharonim who are saying it. We have Acharonim who are explaining that's the only way to explain Kali Bishul. Any Rishon or any Acharon who doesn't want to differentiate between Kali Bishul and regular foods with the clone of Bishul, anyone who wants to take the approach that there's no Bishul and Klisheni, end of discussion. Any Issa Derais and Klisheni must be called another Malacha, and the only other Malacha we have is Machmer Patrish, Gemar Malacha. So Hadru Kushla Duchta. So then you're opening yourself up for the possibility of having, of cooking food, and labeling the person, you're not chayav mishum bishul, chayav mishum akma patish. That's always a possibility. Question, is that true? Does that really play out? So we have to go back again to some of the things we spoke about in Hilchos Bishul, and now we have to almost relearn the sugya of Bishul, not the whole sugya, we spent about 3 months learning Bishul, but one nekud in the sugya of Bishul, looking at it through the eyes of Machmeh Patish. There is a Mishnah in the third parak of Masechah Shabbos, where the Mishnah speaks about Bishul Bechama, about cooking in the sun, and the Mishnah tells us it's mutter. Gemara says pemalik versus beferish. It's mutter to take an egg and put it on the sun and let it fry. Hetter gomer. You can take a cup of water, put it on the sun, let it heat up. Hetter gomer. It's not considered to be bishul. Bishul bechama is not bishul. The Gemara says it's not bishul d'araisa, it's not bishul d'rabbanan. Bishul bechama is totally mutter. So the question becomes: wait a second. If bishul bechama is mutter, so I understand why it's not bishul. But at the end of the day, I had an egg that wasn't edible, and now I have an egg that is edible. So for whatever technical reasons you want to tell me, it's not bishul. You want to hide behind, somehow it's not bishul. Why isn't it makom patish? Back to square one. Why isn't the frying the egg in the sun, in isn't there ice and makom patish? So bishlam according to Rashi, anytime it's a time delay, nishkin makom patish. Bishlam according to the Mishnah Bura, Ochlin don't lend themselves to makom patish. Everything's great. But according to the Lavush and the people of God, and all those Gedolei Acharonim who learned Pshat and Kali Abishol, who disagreed with Rashi, who disagreed with the Mishnah Bura, all those Gedolei Acharonim who said, no, there is makom patish on Ochlin. You can't have makom patish on Ochlin. So Taka, why is there no makom patish on Bishul Bechama? How could we said 3 years ago, we said Bishul Bechama, nothing to talk about. Why not? Let's reevaluate that. Why is Bishul Bechama nothing to talk about? Why isn't it makom patish? So the answer to that question, you have to go back to 3 years ago, namely, well, why wasn't it Bishul? Why was Bishul Bechama not Bishul? If we understand what Bishul Bechama wasn't Bishul, maybe that'll shed some light as to why it's not makom patish as well. So the conventional reasons why it's not makom patish, either because it takes time delay or because it's food, those may be true according to some, but other achronim don't buy into any of those. Any achron who says the Kali Abishal is Machma Patish has to explain away why Bishul Bechama is not. So there's a Sefer Shvisa Shabbos, one of the classics from Hilchos Shabbos, that discusses this very Shabbos, this Nakuda. According to half the achronim who are subscribing to Isra Machma Patish by Ochlin, even though it's happening later and it's Ochlin, what happened to Machma Patish when it comes to Bishul Bechama? So why is Bishul Bechama not an Issa D'oraisa Bishul? How come it falls short in terms of Bishul? So if you remember, there was a Machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim, that had to read Pshat in the Gemara, and Rashi, Machlokes between Rabbi Yishim and Shlomo Zalman. Machlokes from the last generation, the Gedolei of Ara, most of us grew up with, many of us grew up with, the Gedolei Eilim from Rabbi Yishim to Shlomo Zalman. Why is it ultimately that Bishul Bechama is not called Bishul? So Rabbi Yishim said two words, Shaloi Kederach. Moshe said, it's not normal. What Meshuggah cooks in the sun? A guy wants an egg, you fry an egg on a fire. What Meshuggah fries an egg in the sun? Moshe said, since that's the p'tur of Bishul Bechama, that could potentially change according to the time and place. Moshe said that in theory, it was not Kederach in Bizman Chazal. What if you live in a society and time and place where it becomes Kederach, then it becomes Deraisa. And thus, according to Ramosha, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, and it's normal to have solar heating in Eretz Yisrael, you turn on your water, and you cause the water to go into the solar heating system, that's Bishul Deraisa on Shabbos. It's Bishul Bechama. So what, says Ramosha. But it's not, everyone in Eretz Yisrael is doing it. It's normal. It was in this context that Ramosha had his famous tshuva, where he writes that Bishul in a microwave is almost like Bishul Bechama. There's no flame. There's no fire. Is that Anissa Deraisa or not? So Ramosha said, it depends. If you live in a time and a place where microwaves are mashuna, are strange, are shalak yiderech, then it becomes like Bishul Bechama. And if you live in a time when microwaves become normal, so then it becomes deraisa. So Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva. If I'm not mistaken, I think the microwaves started to hit the market after. I think the mechanism was created during World War II, after World War II or something, but they didn't become. But when the microwaves really start to become popular? 70s. 70s or so, yeah. So he wrote the shiva a little bit before that. So Rav Moshe writes that explained to him, they show him what a microwave is. Rav Moshe, he writes microwave. Mem yud kuf resh vav, vav vav yud vav, microwave. So that's how Rav Moshe used to always write the English words. So Rav Moshe writes, Right now, he said, I'm looking around Lower East Side, people aren't using microwaves, they're still using, they're still cooking on the stove. He said, but it could be there'll be a time when people will start to use microwaves, it becomes so common. So he writes in the Tshuva, when it becomes so common, then we have to decide. If it becomes normal enough, then it's going to become deraisa. So Rav Moshe says, the din changes. In the 1950s, microwaves were only derabanan, maybe. Forget about the electricity issues, just the cooking proper. In the 1950s, only one meshugan had a microwave, so that was only derabanan, at worst, the derabanan. In the 1980s, when everyone's using microwaves, that becomes a deraisa. So according to Rav Moshe, same is true when it comes to Bishul Bechama. It comes and goes, depending on what the norms of society are. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that the fact that Bishul Bechama is not called Bishul is an absolute halachic reality. That was part and parcel of the definition of Bishul. When Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he received definitions. So one of the definitions of Bishul is Bishul Be'esh. Anything that doesn't have a flame is not called Bishul. That's the Torah definition of Bishul. So Shlomo Zalman said, therefore, soul lehidi can never be a deraisa. And for that matter, according to Shlomo Zalman, microwave cannot be a deraisa. Again, putting aside the electricity, the lights, all the other technical issues. Just the taking of a cup of water and putting it into a microwave and heating it up, making yourself a cup of tea in a microwave, is not a deraisa bishul according to Shlomo Zalman. It never was, it never will be, because that's not considered to be an eisha amar b'Torah. That's not considered to be bishul amar b'Torah. So now let's take that machlokes Ramesh and Shlomo Zalman and try to go back to our kali abishul problem. We want to know if I take kali abishul and I take an egg and I cook the egg in the sun. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, no problem. There's no deraisa here. So we're scratching our head in the same way. Saying, I understand why there's no bishul, but why is there no machmir patish? So the chorus depends. Depends on Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman. If you hold like Rav Moshe, I'll explain to you why there's no machmir patish. Because it's not normal. The same way that you were potter mishum bishul, the same potter of bishul because of shalok kederech, is the identical potter for machmir patish. Machmir patish is also subject to the rules of kederech. So the same way the guy takes out the eggs and guys takes the egg out in the summer day and he puts it out in the sun and he's waiting and waiting for it to cook up. So he could potentially be over bishul. He could potentially be over machmir patish. So we look at the guy and we say, you're a nutcase. He said, the same way you're a nutcase vis-a-vis bishul, you're meshugan over guy being machmir patish. That's not derech. It's not derech malacha. And therefore, you're going to be potter. So according to Ramesha, that the poter of Bishul Bechama was rooted in Shalei Kederech, that makes a lot of sense. That's the same poter of Machmir Patish. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who held the poter of Bishul Bechama was a din Bishul. That's the way it was. Kachrim Tzal Moshe Rabbeinu, thus is Bishul. Without a flame, it's not called Bishul. That's very nice, vis-a-vis Bishul. But how does that explain away what is no Machmir Patish? Machmir Patish doesn't need a flame. You can Machmir Patish with a hammer also. So why is it called Machmir Patish according to Rav Shlomo Zalman? Shalei Kederech is not really the Ptur. Why is it not going to be chayef? So one could say one of two things. Either one could say, according to Shlomo Zalman, you're also potter because of Shalei Kederech. Shlomo Zalman didn't mean to say that the only potter is because there's no eish. Rav Shlomo Zalman's Ptur was more encompassing than Rav Moshe. According to Shlomo Zalman, even if it will become normal to cook in the sun, you're still going to be potter mishum bishul. Rav Shlomo Zalman agreed. In Shari Chesed, it also looks at the guy who's frying the egg in the sun like a meshugana. So it could be that in Yerushalayim, they agreed to what it said in Lower East Side. It means it's also Shalei Kederech. So Shalei Kederech will be the poter of Machmir Patish. Or maybe if Shlomo Zalman held, maybe there's no Machmir Patish for other reasons. Maybe there's no Machmir Patish falling back on Arashi because it's happening time delayed. Maybe there's no Machmir Patish because it's Ochlim. So we don't quite know. According to Shlomo Zalman, we're not quite sure why is Bishul Bechama not Machmir Patish. We know it's not. We know the Mishnah says it's Mutter. You can take an egg and fry it in the sun. No ands, ifs, and buts. So we're trying to figure out why is that so. So Bishul, we understand how to overcome Bishul, but we're not quite sure how to overcome Machmir Patish. So either you have to overcome Machmir Patish in some of the conventional ways that we said before, or maybe you have to overcome Machmir Patish in other reasons that we're saying now. So when all the dust settles, we have this running question. Is Machmir Patish make sense in the context of foods, the context of cooking foods for a variety of reasons? So one good reason to exclude Machmir Patish from food preparation was based on Rashi. Rashi says that one of the rules of Machmir Patish is that it has to be direct, it has to be immediate. Anything that's a time delay is automatically not considered to be Machmir Patish. So that approach of Rashi and Shabbos and Dalam Aveis will be all encompassing. That's going to knock out most of the Machmir Patish food issues, unless you have some kind of instant kind of a cooking. Masha'in came, those who don't want to go down Rashi's route. We already saw the Rishonim who for sure disagreed with Rashi. So those Rishonim who disagree with Rashi, so maybe they have to come up with other categories, other hagdaras. Maybe it's considered to be food, and food maybe is mufka for its own reasons for Machmer Patish. Maybe sometimes it's shalom kederach Machmer Patish. So almost external reasons, tangential reasons, to get out of Machmer Patish. But this running issue that we have is Machmer Patish subject to, can foods be in the parsha of Machmer Patish or not? It seems to be still somewhat unclear.
If shinoi is an issue when it comes to Machmer Patish, couldn't you exempt yourself from Machmer Patish simply by I don't know, literally holding the hammer backwards? That's not kederach, right?
That would also be true, right? If a guy bangs the hammer with his left hand or something, if that's not a normal way of banging it, but also maybe...
Then you're not chayiv on
it. Like any other one, like a right by left hand, also I'm not chayiv, right?
It's pater avalasser, or is there...
So usually, so that's an interesting point that you make. Normally, shinui makes something pater avalasser. 99% of the time, it becomes pater avalasser. Bishul b'chama is an exception to the rule. Bishul b'chama becomes, translates to become mutter, which is the whole question, why is that? So when we learn bishul, we spoke about like tal, all you said, two kinds of shinuyim, sometimes shinui is the rabbanon, sometimes it's mutter. That's a very, very good question. Maybe tomorrow we'll try, maybe next year we'll try just to pick up that nekuda. But the question is, do we have any rayas? We're throwing around these shilas. Is the makom patish on food? Is there no makom patish on food? Do we have any good rayas from gemaras? I mean, we've been talking about svarim. I mean, not minimizing anyone from the 1900s, but we've been talking about, you know, shvisa shabbases and mishnah berurahs and rabbeishes and shlomo zalman. We've been talking about the last 100 years. Did anyone 2,000 years ago have anything to say about this? Are there any Gemaras that say anything explicitly about the existence or the lack thereof of Machmer Patish and Ochlim? Hopefully that's from on Friday. We have to try to finish up that Nakud. We'll try to mention the what you've talked about. That we have just one or two little odds and ends left of Machmer Patish, and we'll probably finish up this. We'll do the Gemara Malach and Machmer Patish, hopefully, on Friday.